Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Iron Brew podcast. Brad Mell, Matt Blanchard, and Matt Ellis on this one. So we thought we'd have a look back over the last week. There's obviously been two games, you know, and we've lost them both, haven't we? Which brings all sorts of problems. There's Wrexham, of course. There's 3-1 there, and then losing 2-0 to Maidstone at the weekend. Let's start with Wrexham then. I guess we've been saying, haven't we, previously, and I know a lot of people have been thinking like this, but in some regards, it's a bit like a free hit, given that, you know, they're one of the bigger clubs. They're definitely going to be up there at the end of the season. There's a lot of money behind them. With that being said, they're still in the National League. You know, they didn't go up last season. Anybody on the day should be able to beat anybody, really. We've seen that the standard league-wide hasn't been that good overall, has it? Maybe let's start there. Let's start with Wrexham. What did you make of the game? And then also, more specifically, what did you make of the comments afterwards?
Well, didn't Dawes say that it was a free hit?
Pretty much, yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah, pretty much, right. So,
I mean, it's one thing for fans to do it. It's another for the manager, isn't it?
I think the problem is with that, like Wrexham were, you know, miles better than us for the most part. But the thing is, last season and even this season, they've still dropped points. Mm. So teams can still take things off them. You know, they're not, like, invincible. They're good.
Especially
but
away.
Yeah, exactly. So you should be able to still get something from them, you know. And I think that, you know, we were just, completely outclassed pretty much. For most of the game, you could tell the quality though. You could see the kind of gulf in quality, but the fact that sort of Dawes came out and essentially said it was a free hit is concerning, really, given that we need all the points we can get to stay in this league, and we're at home, you know. And you know, we've just come out of the Football League, so saying that a free hit is like saying the mentality is like we're rolling over and lost before the game's even started, and it's just like, oh, whatever, I'm not bothered, you know, as long as we have a shot on target. So I just don't think it's acceptable, really. It's really kind of poor press management from Dawes there, which, you know, is not great, and it doesn't set a good precedent for the game, really. That's kind of what I think. I was a bit, annoyed with that comment, let's say.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. I think, you know, you look at Wrexham's form, obviously home form is fantastic. I think they've won 9 out of 9, and then, you know, the cup games as well. I think they've won those, definitely won the FA Cup game. So, you know, if we were going to Wrexham, you could maybe say, you know, you could probably argue that we're unlikely to get anything from that. But yeah, at home, I would have hoped would have maybe got at them a little bit more. I think looking at their away form, it's still good. You know, it's still in sort of the top 5 or 6, I think, in the league. But they went to Willesden at the weekend, didn't they? And they only managed to draw there. So, you know, they are, you can pick points up against them, especially on the road. And I think, you know, there were a couple of spells in the game, certainly just after half time, maybe just before half time as well, where we maybe just got in the faces a little bit more than we had done previous. I think we maybe gave them a little bit too much respect at times. You know, I know we all know they've got some really good players, players that could maybe play a level or two higher. But at the end of the day, I think if you stand off them and let them play, then they are going to look a lot better. And I think we did that at times. And then I actually think when we did sort of get amongst them and put a foot in and try and make things happen, going forward, I think we had a couple of decent chances. Nothing amazing. I think obviously Beeston probably should have scored. I think he's made a lot of space for himself there. He's a clever little bit of play, but unfortunately the finish is poor.
You've got Apter at the end, haven't you? It's hitting the bar.
Yeah, I just think there's a few chances, but you know, it's, yeah, I think on another night Wrexham probably could have scored 6 or 7. Mm. The chances they missed in the end, especially in the second half. But I did think, you know, the two spells where we did put them under pressure, they did look a little bit ordinary, to be honest. And I think that was the most disappointing thing for me, that although they have a lot of quality, although they're a good side and they're going to be up there at the end of the season, I just think maybe we gave them a little bit too much respect at times during the game. And I think the other thing was they scored at really good times, you know, for them. obviously the first one. I wouldn't say it was against the run of play as such. I think they'd had a couple of decent chances before that, but I think that kind of just knocked the stuffing out of us because we just started to maybe get on the ball a little bit and play. And obviously it's a bit of a mistake from O'Malley trying to kind of lift it over over Mullin, wasn't it? Rather than just clearing it as far as he could. And, 2 seconds later, it's in the back of the
It's
net.
a tapping in it again.
Yeah. And obviously the second one as well, you hope that's avoidable in the sense that their centre-back scored a hell of a lot of goals already this season. Surely he should be someone we're looking to pick up in the box. And it's just a free header for him. And, I think he scored nearly double figures already. So he's a massive threat from those situations. And I just don't think we defended that well at all. And I noticed at the weekend as well with the Maidstone game, we were sort of zonal marking at times, which, it's fine, but you've got to pick up your key men. I think it was a bit of a mismatch in the middle there when the ball came in. I know, I think it was in Clare, wasn't it? And I know, obviously, he's quite good in the air, but, the other guy maybe had a foot on him, sort of. And he's, yeah, it's a decent header, but it's a free header, and that should be avoidable. So those two goals really were avoidable, but they came at a really good time for Wrexham. And obviously the third one, when that came, that ultimately just killed it off, didn't it? Because I think that was, we kind of maybe got on top a little bit just after the break, but when that came, that was it really. And it could have been, yeah, as I say, maybe two or three more by the end of the game.
Well, it could have, and as you say, in terms of scoring at key moments, I mean, they'd already had one cleared off the line by the time they scored the first, hadn't they? I think you are right in terms of, we could have got at them maybe a little bit more. I mean, I think our goal's probably a decent example of that. I mean, it's actually fairly well worked. The ball over is quite good, and again, Rowe brings it down nicely and slots it away. And I think in some regards, it was a good time for us to score. Yeah, you're two down, but you're approaching half time, and it's only a minute or two beforehand, isn't it? Hopefully, it should have given us a bit more to kick on.
Yeah, I mean, that was really good play. I'd like to see Butterfield do that a little bit more because we know he's got that ability, that passing ability, and being able to pick someone out further up the field. And yeah, it was a lovely switch. And I think Rowe took it really well, actually. But when you're playing with sort of your wing backs, as we did against Wrexham, that's what you're hoping Rowe and O'Malley do, bomb on, find themselves in those situations. And whether, it presents itself as an opportunity, as it did for Rowe, or whether they can pull the ball back to someone else in the middle, that's what they've got to be doing. And at times, I don't think they do that enough as sort of wing backs, especially Rowe. And I don't think it's his fault necessarily. I don't think he is a wing back, out and out wing back. It was good to see him up there, and he took it really well actually, which was good to see because sometimes you see fullbacks in that position and they're not quite as composed, but that was a good finish and it was a good move and it was a good time to score. I think that was disappointing given that kind of spell we had just after half time where we did come out and put them under pressure. We couldn't get that next goal because I think if we did, who knows? I think ultimately Wrexham probably would have got on top. I think they made some decent subs and started to stretch us quite a lot in the second half in the channels and things like that. And yeah, as we've said, ultimately I don't know, they missed a couple, didn't they? I think Mullin missed one when he was sliding in at the back post, and I think they had a couple more similar to that. And yeah, who knows what would have happened, but I think if we'd have got back at 2-2, you just never know, and we may have given us something to hold on to.
I think, obviously, for whatever we said about the comments and everything like that, I think realistically, nobody amongst the fan base was actually expecting, a win in that game. However, you look at the next one, Maidstone, those are the games you've got to win. They're down there with us. You absolutely had to get someone from that one. I think we were saying it on the last podcast. It's everything you're seeing over Twitter and everything like that. And more than that is it was a winnable game. It absolutely, we should have been able to get something from that. The fact that we've lost 2-0 there, that's a very concerning result to me.
Yeah, definitely. I think the manner of it was really poor. To concede how we did in the second half, but I think before that, I know Dawes came out and said we could have been out of sight on a different day. I'm not sure I agree, to be honest. I think we had a couple of decent chances. I think Nuttall, obviously, not sure what he's doing with that one when he's sort of one on one with the keeper. originally at the time, I thought maybe it just hadn't come down quickly enough for him, and he's kind of just misjudged it completely. But watching it back, I think he should really have done better with that. I think it was a just a poor attempt. I'm not sure what he was trying to do. Obviously, didn't come off. And then the Lavery one, second half. I expected him to score that actually, because I think we've seen, he's quite composed. He's only scored, I think, is it one? But the one he did score was a really nice kind of composed finish. So I would have expected him to do better with that. And again, not sure what he was trying to do, but he's just got the finish all wrong. And I think those were the two. Having said that, I don't think we'd have really deserved to be two up if we'd have scored those two. I don't think we kind of were really in control of the game. I don't think we were playing really well at all. I think the first half, I mean, we've seen some really poor halves between poor teams on numerous occasions in the past couple of seasons. But for me, that first 45 was probably the worst I've seen for a long, long time. I just don't think there was any quality really in the game. I think it was really scrappy, and there was a lot of stop starts. The ref wasn't great, and I just think it was just one of those really poor afternoons for both sides. But even so, as you say, it's a game we've just got to win. And I think Dawes, for me, got it wrong in terms of setting the side from the start. I know we talk about formations a lot, and I don't really know what the best formation is. I mean, historically, 4-4-2 has been the way we go, and I think that's great. At the moment, do we have the players to play that? I'm not sure, because we don't really have anyone that can play on the left for me. There's no one I would really put on the left wing at this moment in time, and go sort of without and out wingers. I just don't really rate Wilson that much. When I've seen him, he doesn't really impress me. I don't think he's quite ready. And with Feeney out, I don't really rate Feeney, but he would be the other option, I would imagine. I can understand why Dawes is maybe trying the 3-5-2 or whatever he's done, 3-4-3 or whatever he argues it is. But I think the way he started at the weekend with four at the back and then three central midfielders and Apta and no one at all on the left-hand side, playing a sort of 4-4-2 with no one on the left and everyone sort of in the middle and Apta on the right was very odd. And I think we kind of lost Apta's, when he's floating about, he's trying to dictate play, trying to make things happen. I think we lost that, pushing him out wide. So he was pretty ineffective until maybe the second half when we changed it a little bit. But yeah, for me, the formation was completely wrong. And I think we'd have probably been better off with the 3-5-2 and the two fullbacks if we were going to do that.
Yeah, I think if you look back on those comments, when he said we're sort of, dominating it at times, I think it does come back to those chances. I mean, realistically, of all the chances we've had in recent games, you should, in both instances, I think you've got to back your striker to score that. I mean, Lavery's one is obviously is pretty much one on one, isn't he? I would say that there's a bit, probably in the second half, there was about a 20-minute spell where I thought, we look quite good. We got it playing quite nicely. And they're the moments where you've got to take advantage, really. Maybe going back to the changes, obviously some subs. I think the Tom Pugh one was probably a forced one, given that, he was on a yellow, wasn't he? And I think, it was a bit of a clumsy tackle for the yellow we did get booked for. It was like into the back of him, wasn't it? So I feel like that one was more a case of take him off before he gets sent off. Obviously, Nuttall's going to be suspended as well now, isn't he, with his booking? What about the J-Row one?
I don't know. As I say, I just think the way I think Pugh coming off, actually, we did lose it in the midfield. I think he was kind of winning quite a few of those niggly fouls, nothing, not doing anything special as such, but he was, contributing. I thought, that was a bit of a shame when he went off. But yeah, I don't know. I think it was just so wrong from the start, really. I know we kind of created a couple of chances. But ultimately, I don't know. I just don't think we did enough. But I do think it does come down at times now to kind of the squad depth. You look at the bench, there's not that much on there, is there? There's not really anyone that that can play on the left. There's not really much option. If we go 4-4-2, so I can understand to an extent why Dawes is trying a few things. And yeah, the row one, I don't know. I think he just had to to probably go for it. But then again, there was just no one really, was there, at the back. And I think obviously the goals came, and that was it. Once they got the first, I think that was, you just felt that it was over really in terms of a contest. I know the last one came pretty late, but I think that first one just killed it. And they probably, they maybe could have had another one as well. So yeah, those are the games you've got to win. I just think Dawes probably got it wrong, and I think the substitutions that were made, obviously they will argue that they made the right subs. I think their manager said, I brought the right subs on at the right time, and you look at the guy that scored the first goal, he's been on the pitch a couple of minutes, so he probably got it right, and Dawes ultimately with the result got it wrong. And the most frustrating thing is that Maidstone were a really poor side, and we just didn't really do enough to win that game. And we bounced back from the loss at Southend with the Gateshead win, and that was a must win, and I think we all kind of agreed that was a must win, and we went and did that. So we needed to look at that Maidstone one as a must win as well, and ultimately we didn't get it. And you look at the table now, and there is a small gap starting to appear. And you look at the games we've got coming up, sort of this side of Christmas, and I'm starting to get worried that that gap is going to get bigger and bigger. And it might be that it gets sort of insurmountable by the time we get new owners, if we get new owners in the building.
Well, I was just going to come on to that. I mean,
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I don't even think it needs to be this side of Christmas. I think in the next, two or three games, I mean, it's Dagenham next, isn't it? Then Willstone, then Notts County at home, isn't it? Difficult games. I think the fact that it was Maidstone that we lost to, and, with them being in and around us, I think it has made people maybe look at the table a little bit more. I know we're still somewhat early in the season, but if you're not winning that game, it goes back to like we were, last season and the season before. We're going to need a certain amount of wins to stay up, and where are they going to come from? Because if we're not beating the likes of them, then where are you going to get the points from?
Yeah, I think we're in a real mess, actually. and I think it's probably a lot worse than we kind of realise at the minute. If you consider a few things, like we just don't win our games away from home. It's been like a year since we won our own from home. We don't keep clean sheets. We know that anyway, but we've not kept a clean sheet in 31 games, which is, absolutely horrendous statistic. What other club could say that at the minute? And a couple of hard games coming up, the ownership situation. As you said, we're not picking points up against teams we need to win at home against teams like Maidstone and stuff like that. And I think a few things a little bit further away on the horizon in terms of the January kind of not transfer window now, but the sort of the looming issue with Apter's, the length of his kind of loan spell here, which at the minute comes to an end in January. And if that's not renewed, and it would surprise me honestly if it was, then you obviously take the best player away, and then there's also question marks around Nuttall as well, because obviously his contract's up in the summer, and he's, at the end of the day, he's scored 9 goals, and he's scored by far the most goals in our team, and not really that, I think he's sort of like in the top 10-ish top scorers in this league, so people are going to look at that and think, we can probably snap him up there. And again, whatever you want to say about Nuttall, he's very hit and miss, but at the end of the day, he still produced 9 goals, and you take that out and you're kind of in another loft situation at UA, he wasn't amazing, but he was still the only one who was really contributing with goals, however little, if you like. So you take those two players out, worst case scenario, they both go in January, and you know, we're looking in a real mess, the uncertainty with the owners and stuff like that. And I think now people are starting to question sort of doors a little bit. And I certainly did on Twitter at the weekend, and well, got abused for it, to be honest. But anyway, and a few people did as well, just that kind of saying, you know, like, what's going on now? The form's dipping. We've lost three in a row. We kind of had that decent patch of form, didn't we, where we started to get some points on the board, but they were mainly draws. And we said at the time, you know, draws aren't going to get you out of the relegation zone. And if a couple of those draws had been converted into wins and we had won against Maidstone, we'd be looking okay at the minute, but we're not, unfortunately. We're like, what, second or third bottom of the minute? And as you said, Matt, there is a gap starting to appear now, and you look around and you think, where are these points going to come from? Because the performances have just been abysmal recently, you know, really, really poor. And it's like you're in that kind of catch-22 situation where we know the club's kind of what stance on the manager situation is, that nothing's going to happen until new owners arrive, but at the same time we're sliding slowly further into the mire, really. And I don't really think Dawes is equipped to turn that around at the minute, because we are on a slide now. Let's kind of identify that. The form's dipping. The quality of performances is kind of taken a bit of a nosedive recently. And after a good bit of, relatively good bit of form that only produced, like, what was it, one or two wins, you know, and a few draws. And if we've seen this before, where we've had that upturn and then we just kind of depressingly sink into the land of losses and every game. And that's what's sort of happening at the minute. But, you know, the club won't change the manager, or at least that's what they've said. And we've seen when we've changed the manager, we've not really had a kind of a new manager bounce for a long time now. And that's obviously kind of in relation to the current malaise at the club, the mess, the ownership situation and stuff like that. And it's the gamble now whether you stick with Dawes. You know, for the sake of argument, if we lose the next two, you're looking at five losses on the spin, you know, 33 games without a clean sheet. And we're just like, you know, do we bring another manager in? And it hasn't worked before, but it's sort of like the last roll of the dice, because you could bring a new manager in and there may be an upturn in results. There may be, obviously not guaranteed with this club, unfortunately, but there may be an upturn in results. And would that perhaps be enough to keep us in this league?
Realistically, anybody's going to struggle with this team, this squad, this situation. I think anybody's going to struggle with it. But it does feel like we are sort of treading water at the minute. You know, as you say, Matt, we've been told, as you know, as fan base, that basically Tony Dawes is the interim manager. I can't remember if it was explicitly stated until the club sold, or if we're just assuming that. But it does feel
it was stated somewhere.
Yeah,
I'm sure it was.
It does feel like, I don't know, even if we just get a statement just saying something along the lines of, right, no, yeah, it will be Tony Dawes regardless till the end of the season, or, you know, just something. It does feel like at the minute we're just going game by game and not a lot's really happening.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I don't know what they can say, because they've got to think about this. Obviously, at the minute, kind of, Dawes isn't in a sackable position. It wouldn't be the sack, though, would it? He would be kind of...
He'd go back to the academy, surely.
They would just knock him bound back to the academy. They wouldn't get rid of him. So, and I'm sure they probably said that to him when he agreed to take the job. And obviously, we know the reason why Wilcox didn't want to take the job was because he would literally be out of a job. But at least there's that security there for Dawes, which I suppose means there's kind of no consequence to his performance, which is a bit of a weird situation. But whatever, there's no point in talking about that in a minute. But I think that they need to be having that conversation now. And certainly if the results in the next two games don't show kind of, and we lose both of them, we've got to think about this really, really seriously, because that may well be the last sort of throw of the dice for Scunthorpe United, if you like. Because I think that genuinely, if we do drop into regional football, and I genuinely think that will be the end of the club, if not, it will happen soon after. And obviously, if that happens, we're less kind of attractive to potential investors. And so I just think that you know, this is a serious decision. This is, it's like the decision is, do we change the manager and do we find somebody from somewhere to bring some more players in? Because there's no transfer window, we could do that. And we still need to address the situation. I don't understand this, by the way. Like, I know I've been going on for ages, but I just think it's worth talking about this. I don't understand the fact that when we brought players in, it's either a striker or a midfielder. And we've not kept a clean sheet in 31 games. You know, look at that. The defence is a mess. We ship every game. We know that. The goalkeeper's not good enough. The centre-backs are not good enough. So really, somebody needs to have that light bulb moment and think, Jesus Christ, we can't keep a clean sheet, even though we've seen it for the past 31 games. Let's bring an experienced goalkeeper in. Let's bring an experienced centre-back in. I know Boyce is experienced, but it just doesn't seem to be working. I don't know if it's him and Taft, because Taft is, let's be honest, he's a donkey, to be quite, you know, putting it mildly. He's not very good, and he's not been very good for a while. So I'd like to see another experienced centre-back come in and play alongside Boyce with an experienced goalkeeper. And I think that is genuinely what we need at the minute. And if we can do that, and think about the manager situation, then we can, you know, we need to be serious about this. That's what I'm saying. I don't think that's not being addressed. And nobody's talking about it, you know. Like, we can't keep clean sheets, but we're not, I mean, we know there's been a lot of criticism about Dewhurst. You know, he pulls off some great saves, but it's the Watson situation again. Everything else is crap, do you know what I mean? So it's like this problem again, where we have this obsession with kind of inexperienced goalkeepers, which again is costing us every single game, unfortunately. So I think that needs to be addressed, and I think we need to seriously have a conversation, or somebody at board level needs to think about the manager. And I know people are going to get upset by this, and the whole Dawes is a club legend stuff, I'm not in disagreement with that, but we're looking at the survival of the football club. For somebody to come and say we need to look at the manager, we are not getting the results, and to then be shot down for saying that is incredibly obtuse, it's incredibly stupid, it's incredibly short-sighted. And I think that's the conversation that needs to be happening now.
Yeah, I think ultimately it comes down to the ownership situation. And I know, you know, at the end of October, Turnbull came out and said there was no issues paying wages, you know, everything was fine. But we do know, and Peter Swan has confirmed, that the money at some point is going to stop. And you're looking at sort of how long it can go on for like this. How long is he going to keep kind of topping the club up? And I think obviously there were rumours about the end of October. We're now heading into the end of November. So it'll be really interesting, I think, in the next couple of weeks, because I do think that Swan will want the club sold in the next couple of weeks if it's going to happen. And I think everything kind of relies on that. I think any investment in the squad is going to rely on that, because I think at the moment, I just can't see any players coming in unless we can move some out. You know, I think it might be a situation where we could maybe sell one if there's anyone that anyone wants to buy, you know, maybe a Nuttall to maybe swap and get a couple more players in. But even that, I think it's going to be difficult given the club's financial situation. You know, I think we were literally hoping to sell Nuttall just to pay the bills and get through another, you know, few months of football and kind of paying the wages and things like that. So to kind of hope that we might sell someone and then reinvest that into the squad, you know, I don't know if that's going to be the case. So I think the management situation, although it does need looking at, and I do think we do need someone with experience of the league, I just can't see it happening at the moment until the ownership situation sorted. And that's why the whole thing is so crucial. You know, at the end of the day, if it isn't sold, you know, that or we know what the worst case scenario is. We know that, you know, at some point down the line, if Swan does say enough's enough, I can't afford to kind of keep the club afloat, or he doesn't want to keep club afloat, you know, you're looking at administration, worst case scenario. You know, best case, he does sell soon and we can get some investment into the club. Obviously, I'm pretty sure if new owners came in, the management generally is something they do look at, isn't it? If you look at other clubs, they usually want to bring their own man in. And I'm sure that will be the case this time. But I think there's a hell of a lot to sort out if that is to happen. Obviously, if new owners come in, yeah, I mean, the management managers, coaches, you know, that's just the start, isn't it? And then players and sorting out all the sort of off-field issues as well. So it's not a small task. I think that it's a massive task. And I think even if, you know, new owners do come in sooner rather than later, I'm not convinced that it'll be an immediate turnaround. You know, you look at Oldham, I think their fans were delighted when the guy's gone in there and bought the club, he's invested, he's brought a new management team in, you know, he keeps finding money for players. And they're down there with us in the bottom of the table, in the bottom four. So to think it's going to be an immediate turnaround, you know, it probably isn't. But I do think it's needed to give us half a chance, because at the moment, I think Matt was spot on with APTA. You know, nothing confirmed, but everything that Blackpool are saying, you look at the manager, you look at, I think it's their head of recruitment, they're all kind of pointed to the fact that he could play at a higher level. And he's sort of taken each level he's played at in his stride. You know, if we're being realistic and you know, we look at it, he's probably going to be recalled. And if he's not in the Blackpool squad, he's going to at least be playing at League Two, I would imagine, in the new year. And that's a massive, massive problem for us, because, you know, he's contributing goals, he's scoring goals. And as Matt said, you know, if you take him out, you take Nuttall out, there's very little left in terms of goals and things like that. No matter what you think of Nuttall, he is our top scorer at the end of the day. So, yeah, I think it all rests on this ownership situation, and I've just got everything crossed, really, that it is resolved by the end of the month, because I think it's probably getting to the stage now where, you know, it's in the best interests of everybody, really, because it's beginning to drag on a little bit. And
well, that's it. It's probably gone on longer than I think anybody, even at the club, was anticipating. And I think, and that's what comes back to the Tony Doerr situation. How long did they expect him to actually be in temporary charge? Did they think it was going to be, you know, a couple of weeks, a month, maybe? And this is what I mean by it sort of feeling like it's treading water. It's just like we're waiting for something that's not necessarily going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. But again, Swan isn't going to make a decision on the manager, bring someone in for, you know, say that the club is sold in 2 weeks, they want the new man. They may have indicated already that, you know, in these negotiations with Swan, that they are looking to bring in a new manager, you know, that they're going to invest X amount in the squad. I'm sure, you know, Swan always said that he was hoping to find someone, you know, that with the best interest of the club at heart, that's got the necessary, you know, money to take the club forward and make sure the club can be run. So I'm sure these kind of things are coming up in conversations and negotiations. So I'm sure he's got a good idea of what's going on. And you would imagine that a new man or new team, new ownership group will want the new man. And I think that's probably the reason why we are in this situation. But as you say, it's no good for anyone, is it? It's no good for the players. It's no good for the club in general. And yeah, I think, you know, for me, it's got to be sorted in the next couple of weeks. Otherwise, I think, you know, relegation again is a very, very strong possibility.
And we're going to have to leave that there, actually. We don't have an awful lot of time to record tonight, but it's just a bit of a start of this discussion, I think. I imagine this will carry on into the next one. We'll see how the result at Dagenham is. But no, thank you for listening to this one, and we'll see you on the next one.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.